podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
Hey, I just want to echo Amy's thoughts around being flexible. Who actually really loved the park last week? Yeah, those who were there. I can't tell you the amount of people that said to me, can we make this an annual thing? And I think we can. I think we can. It's a good thing to do just to get outdoors and be with each other. And, you know, it's a great reminder whenever we're having building troubles and all sorts of things and venue issues that the church isn't just a service. It's more than just a service. And it's not a building. It's people gathered together in Jesus' name. And so it's just a great reminder for us. And that's what we're all about. So this morning I am speaking with Andrew Taylor, which is fantastic. So you're going to hear from him very soon. It's going to be a great morning. And you know, it's really interesting. I was asking God yesterday, why has it been so hard? Have you ever asked God that question? Why does it feel so hard, Lord? And particularly in regards to the building, because we actually thought today when we came in, they promised us it would be a completed building. And it wasn't completed, if you haven't already seen. And so I was sort of not whinging to God, but just asking God why it was, why it's been so hard, because if you've been on the journey with us for a while, there's been multiple times where we haven't had access to the school hall, there's been a renovation, or you know, the multimedia's failed, or the power's failed, and this morning it's cold because we've got no heating coming through. And it's like, God, why has it been so hard? And I felt it quickened to me the story in Exodus where the Israelites were in slavery under Pharaoh, and if you've been read your Bible for many years, you'll know the story well. And it got harder under Pharaoh. Their slavery got harder. They were creating and making bricks. Now, it was forced labor. And so Pharaoh started to drive them harder, and he gave them the instruction to start making bricks without straw. You reading that? So the output needed to be the same, but that what they were required to do was even harder and harder. And so they had to provide the same amount of bricks but without straw. So it just got harder and harder. And I got thinking about that, and it was like God was saying, I never wanted them to be comfortable in Egypt, and I never wanted you to become comfortable here. And there's something about when circumstances and the current status quo becomes hard that it forces you to go, well, God, perhaps it's time for me to move into what you have for me. And that's a principle in life. And I just felt God was saying that to me through all the struggles that we've had, that he's got something better for us. And it would be very easy for us just to get comfortable, and the more they make this building better, to think, well, what's the point? Let's just stay where we are. But God had a promised land for the Israelites. He has something better for them, and he has a promised land for us, and he has a promised land for your life. And so I want to kind of share around that thought. And so if you're visiting with us today, you've come on a good day, because you're going to hear a little bit about our vision. And we've been in this school hall for a very long time, and we've been on this journey to occupy and have our own home. And I love that Amy used that word home a lot, and we've used that word a lot. Because it's not, even the idea of a building feels sterile, but it's not about a building, it's about a home. Just like you on the journey, I think nearly everyone in this room would be either owning their own home or would like to potentially own their own home. There's something about when you own a home that's yours. And that's what we want to do as a church. And you know, Jesus is into preparing homes for people. He's into preparing places. In fact, look what he says in John 14, verse 2. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you so? I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that you may be also where I am." Now, of course, he's talking about that place in heaven that believers in Jesus have. But it just reminds us that God is a God who prepares places and goes before us and prepares places for us. And so he's preparing a place for us, church. And in a little while, you're going to hear some of the practical steps that we're taking and what's happening. But we need an actual place to call home, a place where we can effectively do all that God's called us to do. In fact, I just wrote some reasons last night, or through the week, sorry, about why we need a church home. But we need a church home where we can disciple people for Jesus more effectively. We need a church home where we can freely worship our God and encounter his presence. We need a church home where people can use their gifts and contribute and belong. Because so much of a home is about belonging in a place where I belong here. We need a church home where we can host the presence of God and create an atmosphere where the sick can be healed, where God can do miracles, where we can just walk in and flow in God and let him do what he wants to do. Place where marriages can be restored. We need a home where we can open up our doors to the community and host people. you know, we had some dinner with friends through the week, and it was interesting. It was just a good reminder that when we were there, when I visit a friend, I always feel uncomfortable about them hosting me in their home. And so anyway, we had dinner and it was time to make tea. And I was like, oh, let me make the teas. And they're like, no, 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 you're in our home. I want to host you. And there's something about a church family being able to host our community and provide the hospitality and show off our God in our home the way you would to your own guests. We need a home that enables people to thrive and flourish and find the hope they need. A lot of you will remember back in May 2017, it's etched in my memory. We had a little girl who was part of our church tragically killed. Just put your hand up if you remember that. About 2 years ago, a little girl over at Tacoma. And one of the most difficult situations we've ever had to go in and minister to. And it was such a tragic event. There was a little five-year-old girl from a Samoan family who was just crossing the road, got off her bus and didn't look as she crossed the road, and she was hit by a truck and died instantly on the spot in front of her family. And it really was one of the most tragic things I've ever been a part of. And it affected the entire community, our entire school. And as a church, we were asked to minister. We were asked to organize the funeral. And I have to tell you, I've never been more proud of our church than I was that week. You know, the meals that we did, we ministered, we just got into action. And we just loved on not just that girl's family, but her community. And the funeral, I think, was about 700-800 people at the funeral. And we had to do the food. And the food for Samoans. Lucas and pigs on spits. And like, there was like, I don't know how many kilos of food. But it was a ginormous thing. And you know, I kept thinking all week, if we had have had our own facility, the way in which we could have hosted, because her entire school came and the community members there, which just would have been such an amazing thing for us to have been able to host in our home. And so it changed everything for me that week about what Build to Thrive was about. And it ultimately isn't just about us, church. It ultimately isn't about us. It's about those in our community who need salvation and hope. It's about the hundreds of families that I come across in Bateau Bay and the surrounding area every day who are struggling with their marriage and struggling with their children and struggling to find sense and purpose and meaning. And while you don't just need a building to do that, it would help. It would really help to be able to provide a home. It's about the youth that are roaming around the neighborhoods on a Friday night with nowhere to go and gather and be and a safe place to go and hang out. But it's also about the kids in our church who I want to leave a better legacy to. In fact, the Holy Spirit corrected me early this morning when I was praying for this. I was looking through my notes and I'd originally written that Build to Thrive isn't about us. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, 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 that's not right. It is about us. It's about us and them. That actually, it's about all the people that have faithfully served and given over the years and have put up with facilities and kids' church out on the grass. And it's not either or, it's both and. It's like God wants to reward faithfulness. And it actually is as much about us as it is about the family that haven't joined us yet. I thought that was good, hey? He wants to reward you. God takes care of his own people. And so anyway, it was just a good reminder. And so that's why in 2015, God spoke to my heart from Isaiah 57:14. I'll never forget it because starting building programs, if I can just be honest with you, you know, we've all probably, if you've been around church for any length of time, seen and heard horror stories about building programs. And so I had some intrepidation about it. And I was like, God, if you're calling me to do this, I have to do it the way I know how to do it. And that is no pressure, no compulsion, just a journey. I can't do it any other way. I'm not a salesman. I just hear from God and I share the vision with you, and that's how we wanted to do it. And so he spoke to me out of Isaiah 57:14, in which it says, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. And he spoke to me about building up our expectation and building up our faith for the promised land that he has for this church and for this family. This is a work. This church, I mean, is amazing. This started long before Amy and I came to the Central Coast. This is about the legacy that started way before us, and it's also about what will come way after us. And I look around at all the young children in our church and I think, what are the amazing things will they do long after I've handed the baton on? And I want to hand on something wonderful to the next generation. He told me to prepare the road and clear the obstacles for the Holy Spirit to do what he wanted to do in and through this. And it's a journey that I'm hoping that you will continue with us on. Before Andy comes up, Actually, come up now, Andy, and you can prepare. Before he just shares, I just wanted to take a moment to honour everybody who has already given and already contributed to Build to Thrive. Never forget, in 2015, we cried our eyes out because it was a moment where we took our first miracle offering up. And, you know, when you go into your first ever miracle offering as a church, as a leader, you're not sure how the response of the people will be. Like, you're like, God, I'm taking a big risk here. Like, is this going to even work? And to see people coming down and giving sacrificially to the vision and to think that there was enough trust in Amy and I, they believed that God had spoken to us, was just touching. So I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so far. Andy.
Thanks, Brad. We need a building with air conditioning. It's cold in here. This morning I wanted to start off with a quote. Does God need a house, he who made the heavens and the earth? Does he dwell in temples made with human hands? What crass ignorance this is. No house beneath the sky is more holy than the place where a Christian lives and eats and drinks and sleeps and praises the Lord in all he does. And no worship is more heavenly than that which is presented by holy families devoted to the fear of the Lord. So that quote is from a message titled Building the Church. It was preached by Charles Haddon Spurgeon on the 5th of April, 1874. What is interesting about that message is it was actually about people, real people who are the church and real people who needed a building to have their church in. The building is in London and it's called the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and it's been a place where it's estimated that over 100,000 people have committed their lives to Christ. And over 200 churches have been planted from it. There's one part of the story that nobody hears about often, and that is this. Almost 1,000 people gave generously in 1860, sowing into this building fund, and I really don't think any of them could have believed what effect their giving would have had on the future generation, even to this day, 160 years on. Moving closer to home, we at Thrive are being called to give sacrificially so that we too can have our own building. For the older Christians that are here, who have been through building programs before, I encourage you to lay any cynicism aside and rather take hold of the vision that Pastor Brad is laying before us. There are many, many practical reasons for us to have our own building, and I'd like to challenge you to look beyond yourselves and your own circumstances and see the why behind the vision. On a personal level, my why was reinforced last week when I read about the hatred, antagonism and offence shown towards our Prime Minister, Mr. Scott Morrison, who did something so outrageous as to pray for our nation at Hillsong Conference. There's a growing resistance to the freedom that we have in expressing religious views or even just to pray. It caused me to reflect on why I've chosen to be a Christian and why I hold the views about God that I have. I'm convinced that this good news that we call the gospel, it needs to be proclaimed loudly now more than ever. Even the most unbelieving heart deserves to hear the gospel. To have our own building where we can freely meet, pray, worship together is something that we should never take for granted. And it's something worth fighting for. So how are we going to do it? Well, I've put together a list of fun facts that I'd like to share with you. Fun facts for some. About how our journey is going to look. Pastor Brad, firstly, appointed a team of a building team that consists of five top guys who have a diverse range of skills and expertise. This team will more than likely have to grow as the journey progresses. Number two, over the past 3 years, we've arranged for the inspection of more than half a dozen buildings or blocks of land in the Long Jetty, Baddow Bay region, and it's proved to be very challenging to find a suitable site. When council conditions are factored in, it's a challenge. Even a church of this size trying to find enough car spaces to meet council rules, it really limits where we can do it. So, number three, in May of 2017, we had a 44-page feasibility report written for a building in Baddow Bay. Around that time, The building team met on site to pray over it. We recently met with the owner of this building for over an hour to discuss options for purchasing it. Number four, both the owner and ourselves are seeking formal valuations for this building, although it's not straightforward for several reasons. One of them being there's currently a business on the site and we've got to deal with that. Number five, we're aiming at raising between $1.1 and $1.4 million. The final amount can't be determined until the sale price is agreed to. At the moment, our cash savings balance is about a quarter of that figure. So we've got some work to do. Number six, we need to borrow the remaining amount of the funds to purchase this building and allow us to alter the existing fit-out to suit our use. Number seven, we're investigating potential partners that can use this building alongside us. This will help with our loan repayments via rental income, and this will also make use of the site when it's not being used by the church. The building team will also, point number eight, the building team will be liaising with a specialist consultant that advises on church buildings and acquisition programs. We're aiming to achieve stamp duty exemption and are seeking to offer tax deductibility in the future, but it's a process to get both of those in place. Nine, we've been in contact with a lender to seek preliminary advice on lending. Generally speaking, banks are very conservative when lending to churches, so effectively that means we need a big deposit. Point number 10, we've been in contact with a town planner and are looking to appoint him to assist us with planning advice, particularly on zoning, permissible uses, and also to assist with submitting a development application. Number 11, we're also looking at the requirements for applying for a grant that a good young man here put me onto. Thanks, Paul. There's an organisation that offers grants to Christian organisations, and it's possible for us to get, there's been grants mentioned of up to $1.6 million through this fund, so we're going to look at how we can pursue that as well. So where to from here? As a church, we need to continue to raise cash to form our deposit. We need to continue liaising with the owner and possibly negotiate an option to purchase. We need to continue investigating our financing and partnership options. And the church also needs to continue to grow and be faithful in sowing. Lastly, I'd like to talk about timing. I wish I could tell you that we'd be moving into a new church next month. Particularly with all the issues that we're having to deal with in this site here. But the reality is we have to achieve some of the goals that I mentioned earlier before this can happen. I'm reminded that being obedient to God is to do things in His timing. If the Israelites tried to march around Jericho in 2 days and not the 7 days that God prescribed, then I'm sure they would have ended up with a very different result. In closing, I would ask that the church building fund that we're on, the program that we're on, Thrive to Build, would be held up in your prayers as we go forth. So thank you.
I'm so glad he shared all the practical stuff because I get bogged down in that stuff. But he has been, I just want to honour him for a moment. He's been an incredible strength, yeah. If I can just embarrass him a little bit, I'll never forget the day he came into church, him and his beautiful wife Marion and their family, and they came in and they're good friends of some others in the church, and there was just something immediately the Holy Spirit just sort of like revealed and went, that guy's pivotal to the future of what you're doing. And so anyway, when they first visit, you can't jump on them the first Sunday and go, hey, you're called to lead us into the building the very first Sunday. And anyway, I was chatting and 3 weeks later, somebody said, oh, he's in construction. I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. So it worked out. It's just that God brings the right people around. And so I just feel very blessed to have the right people, Michael Bateman, Carl Snopek, Sean Clifford. There's great guys around me, so I'm very blessed. Well, in the last 10 minutes of time I've got, I really want to leave you and I with a word of faith as we go into next week. And it's something I think will encourage you in your own life as we move into next week. It's a passage of scripture I felt God speak to me from as we move towards our offering. In fact, every year, while the vision for the building never changes in terms of what God already said, I always ask him just to give me a fresh word of faith, just to encourage us as we go forward. And so he gave me a passage of scripture in the last few weeks, and it was actually a verse of scripture that he spoke to my heart the morning we went and prayed over the building. And it was a very special morning because Brucey Webb, who's no longer with us, was with us. And it was like 5:31 morning. It was pitch black. I really felt in the Holy Spirit to go and kind of do the Walls of Jericho thing, believe it or not, and just prayer walk this place. And on the way there, I remember it was freezing cold. The heat is cranked up in the car. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me from Joshua 1:3. He said this to me so clear. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. And that was just like a confirmation that where we were going to pray for was the place. And I can't wait to announce the place. I so want to announce the place, but we just want to get it over the line first and then we'll be able to celebrate it. But he said that every land, every place you put your feet will be land I have given you. And from that moment forward, that's been our focus. That's the place God spoke. And as we move into next week, I felt the Holy Spirit take me back to that same chapter and a few verses around that I want to look at. Verse 11 says this interesting thing. So Moses is talking to the people and he says, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you'll cross the Jordan River and take possession. Take possession of the land the Lord is giving you. And I really sense that God was saying it is time to take possession. It's time for us to take possession of what God has promised us, what he's promised to leaders before me, what he's promised to us as a church. It's time for us to enter what God is giving us. There is a land that's ours. There's a land that's been purposed out and marked out long before you and I were even on the earth. God is outside of time. He exists outside of time. He already knows his inheritance before what he's going to give you before you even know it. And that's at the start of the year, one of my building team members came up to me at the start of the year, and I don't think he even meant to be prophetic, but he just looked at me and said, you know what, I feel like it's time. It's time to see a breakthrough. Doesn't mean we'll necessarily occupy the building this year, but it's time to actually see a breakthrough and actually move forward with this. It was so prophetic, and I really believe it's time to see the breakthrough of all been praying for. You know, over and over the Bible talks about promise and possession. The promises of God. I mean, go and read. There are over 1,000 promises of God in the scriptures for you and I about our lives. God is a God of promise, is he not? Right through from Genesis, right through to Revelation, God declares promises over his people's lives and what he says is true. But how many of you know the promises of God are possessed by faith? It's only by faith that you actually step into all that God has for you. That's the way he's ordained it. It's a faith journey, which is why we call our journey, our Build to Thrive journey, a faith journey, because it is actually all about faith. And the degree in which we believe what God has spoken is to the degree with which we will possess the promises of God in our own lives. For example, you can read the scriptures all day and believe that you are more than I'm more than a conqueror in Christ and there's a plan and a purpose for me. But if you actually just don't believe what he says is true, you never walk into the reality of those promises. And so ultimately, this journey we're on is not about the money. It's not about the resource. It's actually about faith. It's all about God is an unlimited God. Resource is not a problem. In fact, I really sensed, even through the building, it was he corrected a perspective thing in me. It was like, Brad, the breakthrough, right, you've already had a breakthrough. The fact the owner is willing to negotiate, that's the first of many breakthroughs. For 3 years, we didn't even get a foot in the door, but there's already been a breakthrough. And so the breakthrough is that he agrees to sell it. God will take care of the resource. We just got to be obedient. And it's the same in your life. Sometimes the size of the promise or the size of the miracle that we're needing is intimidating, but never measure the problem against the size. You should measure the problem against the size of God is what I'm trying to say. And so here's what I've come to realize, though, as we finish, as the band come and join me, or a keyboardist to come and make it sound nice in the background. But just gets me getting a flow. Every preacher knows that. There is a fight to possess the land. There is a fight to possess the land. It is a faith fight. It is a struggle. It's not easy. It won't be easy. It's the same for your life. And the reason for that is the enemy is territorial. the enemy is territorial. Even in your own life, you will know every time you try to take ground in your marriage, take ground in an area that God is calling you to take ground in, there will be a fight all the time. The enemy does not concede territory easily. He would much rather, well, you and I just stay in unbelief and just go, it's too hard, it's too big, it's too expensive, just stay where we are and stay in unbelief. And that was the whole story of the Israelites going from Egypt to the Promised Land. They were in the desert for 40 years for one reason, unbelief. Unbelief. The actual journey from Egypt to Canaan, I forget how many days it was, but direct route from Egypt to Canaan was like 3 days, I think. Not even that, perhaps. But 40 years they wandered in the desert, never entering the land God had for them for one reason and one reason only, unbelief. And so I don't want us to be that church. I want us to possess what God has for us. And the reason he's so territorial is because this is about ownership. It's about ownership. He's territorial of land. He fights churches that acquire buildings of land because he's territorial. Because as Andy said before, about having the freedom to communicate, ownership is about influence. When the church owns things, we have influence. They can't just kick us out. We've got a stake in the ground in the community to say, we're here for good. This is our land that God gave us, and this is our platform, and that's why the enemy fights it so hard. It's easy to not possess, and as I read that, I had a moment, if I can just be vulnerable with you as a leader, where the size of what God is calling us into felt intimidating. I'm like, God, you've led me to probably the biggest building in our area. Why couldn't you just lead us to something smaller? My faith is not big enough. And I felt this verse, and you know the verse, be strong and courageous, for you are the one. You are the one who would lead these people to possess all the land I swore to these ancestors I would give them. There were two things I felt God was saying to me through this. The first thing was the mandate that I have given you and Amy to lead this church. I haven't called anybody else. I've called you to do this. And that was one of the assignments we felt called to when we came to the Central Coast, was to lead this church into the Promised Land. But there was another element. We are the ones. We are the ones. It was like God was saying, you are the one. This church, this generation. We're not going to wait for the millionaires to walk in, or they'd be nice. We are the ones called to go and trust God and see a miracle. We are the ones, not anybody else. I'm not waiting around for John Singleton to get saved and come through the doors. It'd be nice. We are the ones. So let's get ready to prepare to enter. Let's get ready. How many of you know that readiness is faith? Readiness is faith. Noah had to build the ark before the rain came. Readiness is faith. And as I finish this final verse, it says in verse 11, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. Go through the camp, go through Thrive Church and tell the people to get their provisions ready. For in 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord is giving you. And that's what, you know, with Andy sharing so well around what we're doing to get ready, I just want to encourage you, join us. Be ready. As we go into next week, as we prepare to give, I want to say to you, it's not actually about the amount. It's not about the amount. It's just that you'd be part of it. Just be part of the journey. There'll be people next week that'll give a lot, and there'll be some people next week that can't give much at all. And that doesn't matter. What matters is that every person who calls this church their family joins us with us on the journey. And we're just part of it. Just be involved in some way and contribute to the journey. So this is what we want to ask you to do next. This week, in a moment we're going to pray to finish. But I just want you this week to simply pray and say, God, what's my part? What's your part for me? That's all. Don't give out of compulsion. Don't give out of pressure. Don't give out of obligation. Actually, don't give it all if you feel obligated. Just give freely. Just give whatever, God. That's what we'll be doing as a family this week. We'll just be saying, God, what would you like us to contribute? And then just obey whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. We want it to be a joyful, free, nice journey. It doesn't have to be a taxing, burdensome, awful thing, you know. It can be a joyful thing. So that's the first thing I'm asking you to do. The second thing is I'm asking you just to bring your offering next week. And next week, we're just going to take some time to give and to sow into the containers that will be available. And if you give through the week, and if you get a flyer, I think the details are up there. There's an online option for you. If you get the flyer, the details, I know it's cut off at the bottom of the screen. See, that's why we need our own building. Yeah. so we can just project the images properly. But the details are on the card. And if you give online through the week and you think, look, I want to be part of that, I'm going to give online, that's often what we do, I just encourage you, write it down on a bit of paper, on an envelope, just so you can be part of coming forward next week and give. And perhaps, or if you're pledging to give, you think, I don't even have it next week, but I just want to give something later in the year, that's fine too. Just write it down and be part of this journey to possess. Is that okay, church? Would you stand with me? What a privilege, hey. What an honor. Yeah. It's about two things. It's about God and people. God and people. And we're on an incredible journey as a church. And I just feel so honored. I sent Andrew a message last night saying, what an honor it is to even be serving in the kingdom of God. Serving the King of Kings and making a difference. It's not just about money. It's all that we do for the King. And so I want to pray, if that's okay. And I know this might, we've all been about comfort zones this morning and getting out. Would you just put if you feel comfortable, just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you and or link arms or whatever. I just want to pray as a family because we're in this together. This is about family. And we're going to pray that the God of heaven and earth would do a miracle. Not only next week, but many miracles in the next months to come, a miracle in the owner's heart, a miracle in the lives of the givers, and a miracle in the lives of the people around us. So we're going to begin to lift our voices, we're going to begin to lift our faith, and we're going to begin to praise God and thank God for that we are going to possess the land. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are leading us into the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, a good land. We have been called to possess a wonderful building, a wonderful land. And Father, I pray, God, you would speak to every person in this room this morning, God, that we would hear your voice so clearly, Lord, that this week, God, we would all step out in faith and be part of what you're doing. God, we pray you would work in the heart of the owner, Lord, even this week, that things would shift and move, that he would agree to sell us that building, God, that there would be a miracle, that we would truly possess the land. God, I thank you for the people that are coming in, Lord, for the people who aren't even on the journey yet, that you are calling to be part of this journey, God. I thank you that it's time to possess the land, Lord. Build our faith, build our generosity, build our expectation. And everybody said, amen.